last Sunday. A week ago Friday, and then last Sunday, I did not mention, and I want to mention, I'm very thankful, and I praise God for my father and mother. It was their 55th wedding anniversary a week ago Friday. And again, I praise God for His plan. And while my parents lived much of their lives sinners separated from God, they were together and they were married and they procreated, and I stand before you out of that procreation. And I praise God for His plan for family, His plan for growing more people. I praise God for His plan, His institution of marriage that was represented in my parents as they were married and have stayed together for now over 55 years. Yesterday had another great day in my life and at my home. I was meeting with Brad at 6:45, and while I was meeting, my wife was preparing a Reed tradition of eggs, potato, and bacon so that the men of our church could come over and have breakfast and fellowship, and we did. And then after that, we opened God's Word, and we were in the book of Ephesians, and we were looking in Ephesians 4:19 about how our consciences have been seared, how we get past feeling, how pagans, Gentiles, get past feeling with their seared consciences, and discussing our own consciences, and how easy is it for us to see certain things that we readily accept, and how we need to be careful with our seared conscience. And it was a wonderful men's study. Then I got to meet with Kirsten as I was shepherding Kirsten, and the men of this body, many men of this body, were out again working on the deck. They were working with their hands together, teaching some of the younger boys how to work. And that was I'm always very humbled to watch that happen. Then at lunchtime, we broke bread again together, more specifically Harris Pizza. And we were able to talk, and we all got to sit around and listen to Brother Bob talk about his life. And we all learned more about his past, so we know him better, and we know where he's come from. And it was very, very edifying for us to learn about him and to talk that way. And then I went back into my office and did sermon prep. And as I was doing sermon prep, the men went back out and worked some more. And then Skylar Sandry texted me three or four times asking me for some passages of Scripture for a discussion he was having with some friends of his. And he asked if he could come over. And so he came over at about 3:45. And Abram and Jonathan and Skylar, who are sitting here today, we sat and we had a discussion about, it started with the doctrine of election. And we talked about the doctrine of election, and we talked about salvation, and we talked about being obedient and what it looks like to stay in continued sin. And if you're in continued sin, can you be saved? And it was a God-glorifying discussion with two young men I had never met before. And I was very humbled to be part of that. And we climbed in the car and we drove over to Brad's parents' house, where we swam together and ate burgers together and took a boat ride on the river together, and we're able to spend time together with some of the body. And I tell you all that because it was just a great day in my life. And it was a day where everything, I look back on that day, I started out, prayer in the morning, but everything that day, I can praise God for it and thank God for it. And I know what my life was like before. I know that my life before, nothing I would have done on a Saturday would have been glorifying to God. Nothing would I be able to stand the next day in front of anyone and say, I praise God for how I spent my day yesterday. Nothing would I have been able to say there was God-honoring fellowship and God-honoring work. I mean, I would have been out at the golf course on a Saturday playing golf, playing cards, probably getting drunk and living totally self-focused life with no glory to God. And I'm just very thankful to God as I get to consider my days and how much God is the center and the focus. I laid in bed last night falling asleep listening to an R.C. Sproul sermon. So, it's not a perfect day. It's not that I don't waste any time in my life, but from the time I got up to the time I went to bed, God was on my mind. And I'm very thankful for that. I hope that you all, beloved, can say the same for your days, and that you would continue to grow in God's grace and have your days be centered around Him. There's great joy in that. Okay, today we'll be in Romans 1, 24 through 32, and I'm going to ask us to do something I haven't asked us to do before, and that is, I'd like us to stand for the reading of the Scripture. And the reason I'd like us to do that is in the book of Nehemiah talks about the Israelites standing as the Word of God was read. Jesus stood to read the Word, and then He would sit and teach when He would go in the synagogue. And there's also Scripture that talks about sitting and reading. But one of the things that just kind of came to me is, as you all stand now, it gives me a sense of this is all of us standing before God, not just me standing up here. We're all standing before God, and we're going to reverence His Word as we read it. So I'm going to read the passage for today, Romans 1, 24 through 32. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. You can be seated. Glory be to God. As I was considering this text throughout the week, there was a recurring theme in here that is extremely sobering. And the more I studied and the more I read and the more I thought about the recurring theme that keeps coming up, and that is God's abandoning of sinful mankind. Why is mankind so debased? Because God has abandoned mankind. That's what comes up in this verse, in this passage. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up. Verse 28, God gave them over. Therefore God gave them over is the title of this sermon, because that's what continues throughout this passage. Paul starts this section of his letter, remember, in the first 17 verses, he's basically introduced himself, identified who his audience was, the saints in Rome. He talks about how much he wants to get there. And then in verse 16, he, after talking about the debt that he has to all mankind, he talks about he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because he knows that the only thing that's going to save people is the gospel. And so he's not reluctant, and he really wants to preach the gospel. And he wants to come to Rome because he knows that the gospel is what saves. And God's righteousness has been shown up, salvation by salvation by salvation. And then he goes into verse 18. And in verse 18, he starts to preach this gospel or teach this gospel that he just said he's not ashamed of. So I'm going to look. And remember here in the start of this passage, it says this. Therefore, God also gave them up. Therefore, God gave them over is what you'll put in your blank. But therefore, God also gave them up. As always, when we read our scriptures and we see a therefore, we have to consider what it's there for. Therefore ties us back to something. So when you're reading your Bible and you see therefore, we have to contextualize that. We have to go see what is the therefore, therefore. So now we're going to go look and see why God gave them up. Verses 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, So the wrath of God is on all mankind because one common sin that all mankind has done is suppressing the truth of who God is. So all mankind is under the wrath of God because they have suppressed the truth of God. Because, and here's how they've suppressed it. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. Because what may be known of God is obvious to them. It's completely obvious that God exists, the Creator exists, when you look around at all of the creation. And that's obvious. The word manifest, so it's obvious. God has placed inside of everyone an obviousness of His existence. We talked about this in teaching time. We talked about this Wednesday night. So if anyone is ever in a discussion with you and they say they don't know that God exists, they're lying. It's not true. Because the Bible tells us that's not true. All mankind has a knowledge of God that's been placed in them by God Himself. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no one in the middle of Africa who's never heard of Jesus Christ that is innocent. They aren't innocent. If they were innocent, they would go straight to heaven. So the gospel wouldn't be necessary. They're not innocent. But they're not guilty for rejecting Christ, of whom they've never heard. They're guilty, like all mankind, for rejecting God, of whom they've clearly seen. And they made up their own gods. So they're without excuse. All mankind is without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. All mankind knows God by looking and seeing creation. And they don't glorify God for that or be thankful to God for that. They make up small g gods that they worship often, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They did not glorify or be thankful to God in their futile thinking, their pointless thinking. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Mankind created their own religions that made small g gods that they could manage. Man's religion is not a necessary thing for them to be better off. Quite frankly, man's religion is an obstacle or a distraction to knowing who God is. See, if you can have a religion that you are sold out to, but it's not worshiping the God of the Scriptures, it's not worshiping God the Creator of all, then you are distracted into thinking you're okay because you have religion. See, any church is not as good as no church. See, if you go to an institution called a church that preaches a 60% God, guess what? Your religion is worshiping a small g God. It's not the full God of the gospel. It's not the Creator God that created all of the universe. It is a small g God, and that distracts you. How many of you went to years and years and years of church, were very religious, and then you got saved? And that was a distraction to you. You thought you were okay because you went to church every Sunday or most Sundays. But you weren't worshiping the one true God. It's an obvious form of suppressing the truth. An obvious form of suppressing the truth is having a religion that doesn't worship the true God. Think about how many people you know that are very religious, and that caused them to be somewhat moral, and therefore they think they're okay. It's a distraction. Therefore, now into verse 24, God also gave them up. Because they suppressed the truth of who God is, because they didn't glorify and thank the Creator of all, because they made up their own religions that worshipped animals or small g gods or themselves, because of that, therefore, God also gave them up. The thing we see in verse 24, 26, and 28, this same truth. God has given man over to their sin and its consequences. The word for gave them up that's used in this passage in those three verses, parodidomai. Parodidomai, it means to give into the hands of another. To give over into one's power or use. To deliver up one to custody. To be judged, condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, or put to death. So this word, paradidomai, means to give over into another's hands. This word is what's being said here. God has given over man because they wouldn't worship Him, they wouldn't glorify Him, they made up their own religions. God has turned them over, given them over to their own, we'll go look at all He gives them over to. This word, parodidomai, it's used over 100 times in the New Testament. Acts 22:4. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons, both men and women. Delivering, parodidomai. Paul would deliver Christians. He would go get Christians and deliver them over to be put into prison and then tortured or persecuted or even killed. So he would deliver them over. He would grab up these Christians, and Saul, before he was Paul, would deliver them over. Same thing God does. And by the way, it's Acts 28:17, not 27:18. Acts 28:17, if you want to change your note-taking guide. And that says this, and it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. So he says, I was delivered. Parodidomai. He was completely controlled as he was taken and put into captivity. Matthew 5:25. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you, parodidomai, to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. God's hands over mankind. So he has taken his hands, in essence, he's taken his hands off of mankind as he's delivered mankind over to their sin. Parodidomai, 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. God delivered sinning angels to hell. He took them, his hands off of them in heaven, and he put them in chains in hell. Romans 4:25. Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses, it was raised because of our justification. God delivered up His own Son. He delivered up His own Son to the cross, to the Jews, to the Romans, to die, to pay for sin. He handed over. Remember, we are in a topic here about the wrath of God. And one of the ways that God's wrath is manifest is He takes His hands off and turns over mankind to their own sin. It is a sobering reality. I hope that you're understanding this. God turns over sinful mankind. He delivers them up. Parodidomai. He gives them over to. He steps back and says, go for it. Live out your sinful desires and the consequences that come with that. The wrath of God is His removal from them. What R.C. Sproul calls judicial removal. God in His justice removes Himself from them. That is the wrath of God that removes Himself from them. Think about that in context of a nation. Think about the context of our nation. God has delivered us over removed himself and delivered us over to live out our sin, how we want to live out our sin collectively. What a horrible judgment. Can you think of a worse judgment than have God say, my wrath abides upon you because you suppress the truth, and how I'm going to live out that wrath in your life is I'm going to leave you to your own? That is why mankind is so wicked and wretched. That is why mankind is so wicked and wretched, because God has stepped back and said, go for it. God has taken his hands off in a way and allowed them to do what they want to do. This concept of infinite mercy is an inaccurate concept. I mean, God is infinite, but his mercy isn't. His mercy is not infinite. When he has turned over sinful man, given them over, he is not showing them mercy, he is showing them judgment. Go do what you're going to go do. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Uncleanness. In the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now we're going to see what God has given them up to. The first one is uncleanness. The Greek word for uncleanness is akatharsia. Akatharsia. It means immorality, sexual impurity. So the uncleanness that he's turned them over to is sexual impurity. This word also used lots of places in the New Testament. Paul uses akatharsia in Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. He's talking to the saints in Ephesus, and he says, don't even allow sexual impurity to be anywhere near you. You got a body of believers. If any of those believers are having sexual impurity, get it out of there. That leaven will infect the whole lump. There's no sexual impurity. If there are fornicators inside of your congregation, they are not God's people. Get them out. The word Galatians 5:19, akatharsia, is now the works of the flesh are evident. So these, remember, we got the fruits of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, akatharsia, which is uncleanness, and lewdness, all forms of sexual immorality. So we see here a reference that Paul makes saying what God has turned them over to is sexual immorality, sexual impurity. Now, he says the same thing in verse 26. And you might could think it was just a repeat. It's not, because Paul's talking about something specific, or probably talking. He's in a prison in Corinth, writing to the Romans. And in Corinth was the temple of Aphrodite. And in the temple of Aphrodite, what was happening was cultic prostitution. What they believed was the gods and goddesses needed to have sexual relations, because if the gods and goddesses would have sexual relations, they would get more livestock, they would get more crops, they would even get more children. So what they would do is they would have sex with the temple prostitutes in order to encourage the gods and goddesses to do the same. So the kind of sexual impurity that Paul was talking about was sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Having sex with a temple prostitute. In verse 26, Paul's going to deal with another form of sexual impurity. But here he says, God's given them over because they've suppressed the truth. They've had their own gods. They have their own religion. He's given them over to their uncleanness, their sexual impurity. In the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Atimaso. Atimaso. It means to treat shamefully. Insult. Cause to be dishonored. Disgrace. or degrade. So what he's saying is these sexual relations that are taking place outside of the confines of one man and one woman in marriage, outside of those confines, it is sexually impure and it is dishonorable. It is shameful. It is disgraceful. When God gives mankind over, much sexual impurity happens. Look at the culture of free love in the 60s and 70s in this country. Look at the country we live in now where a president of the United States has oral sex, but that's not really sex. We've been given over as a culture. We've been given over as a country. And now sexual morality is rampant. I would hate to see a show of hands of how many were virgins when they got married. It would be very few. Because fornication is part of the country we live in, part of the culture we live in. Very accepted. Been given over. Pornography, which leads to much masturbation all over our culture. Very accepted. Move on to verse 25. We're going to see exchanging theism for humanism. Exchanging theism for humanism. So God gave mankind over to their sexual impurity, who had exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In the middle of this wrath, in this middle of this degradation of humanity that Paul's talking about, he throws in here a little fresh breath of fresh air for us about the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Whew, I can take a breath because I'm outside of all this debauchery and I get to focus on God for a moment. But they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Theism. They went from theism, they exchanged the truth of who God is. Theism, that's a focus on God. That's a focus on the Creator. Theos is God, and ism is how we think. So theism, worshiping God the Creator. Having mankind's lives focused on Him and His glory and His will. They exchanged that. They exchanged the truth of God. Instead of being theistic, they had become humanistic. Humanism, rejecting God's will and living for mankind's pleasure with a focus on mankind's well-being and joy and happiness. When God saves us, He makes us theists. But all mankind are humanists. Mankind has exchanged a focus on God, of glorifying Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, focusing on Him and His will, to a man-centered focus about our pleasure, our well-being. Humanism. And because of that, God's handed them over. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you, He's talking to the saints, He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, what? Children of wrath. So the wrath of God, back from verse 18, is upon all of mankind because all of mankind are humanists. They focus on their fleshly desires and their fleshly wants, and that's what they live out of, not a focus on who God is. The center of their thought is what brings mankind the wrath. The giving over, because they're focused on themselves. They're focused on man being the center of all the universe. Not God. Humanistic. When we're alive in Christ, we're theists. We're not humanists. And the gospel of Christ is what's changed us from humanists to theists. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. And then in verse 10 it goes on to others, but those are all sexual sins. Do not be deceived. Those folks will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Sexual perverseness will keep mankind from heaven. But the gospel that leads to repentance changes us completely, beloved. Down to verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's five perverse sexual behaviors. Of those five, I participated in four. Because I was a humanist. Because I was focused on my pleasure. But I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified in, by Jesus Christ. And no longer am I any of those. And if I were still those, then I don't go to the heaven. Do not be deceived. Living like this, focused on human pleasure, not focused on the will of God, makes one not right with God. If one calls themselves a Christian, but hangs on to a man-centered, humanistic point of view, then that's because they're turned over to their own sin. They're not right with God. They're not saved. Matthew 10:39, Jesus says, he who finds his life, his humanistic, self-focused, me-centered life, will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. God abandons mankind to a life focused on themselves. Then he calls his people to himself through the gospel, grants repentance, and their focus shifts from God or from themselves to God. They lose their life. No longer are they, deny yourself, right, Kev? We went through it. They deny themselves. No longer are they humanistic. They're now theistic. They die to themselves. God's people change from humanists to theists. Romans 6, 16 through 19. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin, leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, the gospel, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, akatharsia, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Paul has pointed out here in Romans 1, where we are in today's passage, that God has given sinful man over to their humanism, which resulted in disgraceful sexual sin. The sin of cultic prostitution was most probably what Paul was alluding to. The sin of sex outside of marriage. The sin of sexual sin for man's pleasure instead of sexual purity for God's glory. Next, we see in verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions. Vile passions, homosexuality. For this reason, what reason? Because they exchanged the truth of God and worshipped and worship and service of Him, they exchanged that for worship and service to man. Because they did that, because they started to worship the creation instead of the Creator, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their females exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the males, leaving the natural use of the females, burned in their lust for one another. Males with males, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. God condemns homosexuality in no uncertain terms here. And we are going to look at some of the terms with which He uses to condemn it. First, vile passions. Vile passions. Vile. Atimia. Atimia, which means dishonorable. Ignominious. Disgraceful or vile. The word atimia means dishonorable, ignominious, disgraceful or vile. God gave them up to disgraceful or vile passions. Pathos, which means passions or sexual passion. God gave them up to disgraceful, vile, sexual passions. We, beloved, are called to normal sexual passions, not vile sexual passions. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-5. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual morality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Sexually immoral people don't know God. They're given over to vile passions. Specifically, what type of vile passions? For even their females exchange the natural use for what is against nature. The natural use. Natural. Physikos. Physikos means the nature of things. The force. Laws. Order of nature. Use. Kresis. Kresis. Kresis means sexual function. Carnal relations or sexual intercourse. For even their females exchanged the natural sexual function for what is against nature. There's an obvious natural use for sexual relations between a male and a female. The parts go together. Procreation occurs. This is natural, God says. Some of you don't want to hear this morning because you hate God. This is God's Word. This is not interpretation, it's exegesis, and we are just simply looking at the terms that God uses to define what God thinks. And if you are rejecting it, you are rejecting God, you are not rejecting me. For this is the will of God. Whoops. For even their females exchanged the natural use for what was against nature. Likewise also the males, leaving the natural use of the females, burning their lust for one another. Males with males committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty. Physikos kresis. Natural sexual function. For even their women exchange the natural use, physikos krisis, for what is against nature, paraphysis. Paraphysis, against, paraphysis, nature. Against nature. Females with females is against nature. Male with male is against nature, the natural order of things. It is vile passion. It is disgraceful use of sexuality because it goes against nature. It goes against what's natural. Homosexuality is disgraceful. It is an abomination. It goes against the laws of nature. The question that gets bandied around lots that you hear is, one born gay or do they choose to be gay? What does this prove? They weren't born that way. It's not natural. There's a natural way that there was creation. And the natural way, so anyone who chooses homosexuality as their sin of choice, just like drunkenness, just like adultery, just like any other sin, they weren't born with it. That's how sin has manifested itself in them. Because the natural thing is a male with a female. It's obvious they weren't born that way. Maybe some of you have noticed that I've been saying female and male instead of woman and man, as it was on the screen, or women and men. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their females exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the males, leaving the natural use of the female, burning their lust for one another, males with males, committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of error which was due. The word used here for females is phalus. Phalus. Now you say, who cares? It's only used in the New Testament 5 times. The word that's normally used is gune. And gune is used over 150 times to talk about women. Or ladies or women. Paul uses a very generic term, female. There's females of other species. There's males of other species. There's no woman in a cowherd. So he uses a generic term here, only 5 times used in the whole New Testament. So he's showing us, look, this is females and males. This is a biological, this is a natural function. This isn't about womanhood or manhood. This is about male and female. The word he uses for males here is arsen, and that's used only 7 times. Aner is used over 200 times. So the reason he uses these words is to bring this sexual impulse down to its most rudimentary, basic level. It's natural for a male to be with a female. It is not natural for it to be a female with a female or a male with a male. Males and females are naturally to have sex with opposite gender. You know, there's no homosexuality among animals, which many of you say, well, that's not what I've read. There are occurrences of homosexual, if you will, behavior, but there is no occurrences of animals that stay together with one of their own sex their entire existence. It's not natural. Just like tomcats sometimes eat their young kid, their young kittens, because their natural instinct, they think that kitten is a little rodent and they eat it. Well, that's abnormal. It's not natural. So to say that we should eat our babies if we want to then, because our instincts might be that way. Just like we would trade in what's natural sexually for what's unnatural. God calls homosexuality a vile passion, a disgraceful, dishonorable sexual passion that goes against the natural order of things. God has always spoken against and hated homosexuality. Leviticus 18:22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Toiva, a disgusting thing. Homosexuality is a disgusting thing to God. It goes against the natural order. It's vile. It's disgusting. God says. God hates it so much in the Old Testament judicial law, it was punishable by death. Leviticus 20:13. If a man lies with a male, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. A disgusting thing. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. This nonsense, this heretical nonsense that says Christians can be homosexuals is a lie. Homosexuals have been turned over to their vile passions because they suppress the truth about God. Rob Bell. It's a lie. It's suppressing the truth of God once again to make a God that you can manage. It's a disgraceful, disgusting sign that shows that mankind has been turned over to his own sin nature. This passage keeps on pointing out in no uncertain terms, words. We're going to look at another word, that what God says about homosexuality. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their females exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the males, leaving the natural use of the female, burning their lust for one another, males with males, committing what is shameful. Shameful. Askamasune. Askamasune. It means disgraceful or shameful, indecent or improper. Disgraceful, shameful, indecent, or improper. Do not ever back down from the truth about homosexuality. It is a disgraceful, disgusting, shameful, improper act that goes against God's natural order of things. Homosexuals are not victims of being born that way. It's sin manifesting itself in those that have been turned over to live out their own sexual impurity. Paul goes on, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The penalty of their error, like AIDS. AIDS would be a penalty of the error of this disgusting thing that goes against nature. How about this one? Being shunned by a culture. Most homosexuality is shunned by a culture until that culture grows farther and farther from God. Oh wait, that sounds like America. No longer do we shun it, we embrace it. But one of the penalties of their error, which was due, was being shunned by a society that understands, just like a murderer would be shunned, just like a pedophile would be shunned. You shun sexual morality in a culture. Now, homosexuality is not the number one sin. It's not the number one sin. Sin, any sin, separates us from God. But make no mistake that God clearly spells out homosexuality as sin. And do not buy the lie of our mandated legislature that says homosexuality is natural and normal. That goes against God's truth. Just like murder is not natural and normal. Just like stealing is not natural and normal. Macklemore's song, "It ain't the same love." That's a lie. Ain't no same love. God hates it. It's not the same love as Nick and Julie have for one another, or Paul and Andrea have for one another. It's disgusting, despicable, and God hates it. Paul continues, says, God gave them over to a worthless mind. God gave them over to a worthless mind. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God then gave them over to a debased mind. Back to this concept of mankind suppressing the truth, because sinful man doesn't want to focus on God, the Creator, and worship and thank Him, they're given over to a debased mind, a worthless mind. Adokimos, worthless, depraved, debased, reprobate, properly used of metals and coins. So this term was used when a metal was rejected by a refiner because of the impurities in it. So they would reject the metal because it was impure. Because mankind did not and does not focus on God, because they are not theists, God gave them over to a worthless, depraved, unacceptable way of thinking. Because man doesn't retain the knowledge of God, Job 21:14. Yet they say to God, depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Look, some listening to this today do not desire the knowledge of these ways. And they're saying, depart from me, God. I don't like what I'm hearing. Because there's no fear of God in those debased minds. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools will not like this sermon. Fools despise godly wisdom and instruction. They have worthless, unacceptable thoughts that drive their actions. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. This is what God says about humanity. This is what God says about the wrath of Himself. This is what God says about certain practices. That's the knowledge of God. That's the wisdom of God. But fools don't want any part of it. Many people call themselves believers and yet their lives prove their worthless ways of thinking. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. This is true of all those who claim to know God, but live outside of His commands on purpose. That suppress the truth of who He is. Because they've been turned over to their vile passions and they live them out, and that's evidence that they're not right with God, no matter what they would claim. This idea of rejection, adikomos. Remember, adikomos. We talked about the refiner. Jeremiah 6:30. People will call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. God will reject this worthless way of thinking. They will be rejected. God rejects the reprobate thinking of fools because of the impurities in their thoughts and gives them over to the depressed, debased way they think. They've been given over to this debased way of thinking. God, His judgment, His wrath has removed Himself from them and said, go for it. That was me. That was you. Don't be confused. All mankind is in that place. Outside of the gospel bringing salvation. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. This is what one with a debased mind lives like and thinks like. To do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Filled. Plero'o. To fill to the top, so that nothing shall be wanting. To full measure, fill to the brim. So these people that have been turned over, God has turned over mankind to their debased way of thinking, they are filled to the top with unrighteousness. This is total depravity being talked about here. Filled to the top, filled to the brim with unrighteousness. So God has turned them over to their depraved mind, their debased way of thinking. They're completely filled with unrighteousness. They're totally depraved. And then here's how they live. With all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, any use of sex, organs outside of husband and wife, wickedness, full of evil purposes and desires. I was thinking about this in wickedness and how I was filled with evil purposes and desires. You know one of the ways I was filled with evil purposes and desires when I was a kid? I used to egg people's cars. You know why? And people I didn't even know, random people driving down the street, just for the pleasure of destroying someone else's property. R.C. Sproul talks about he hates onions. It's his judgment, he says. But he used to go to this neighbor's onion patch and he didn't even eat onions. He'd pull all their onions out for no reason except to destroy their property, for the pleasure it gave him to destroy someone else's property. Wicked. And think about your life. You were wicked. Covetousness. A greedy desire to have more and more. This is how the debased mind thinks. Overlay this on your life, everyone. How do you think? Maliciousness. That's evil focused on others. Full of envy. Wanting what someone else has or is. Murder. Killing or hating someone. strife, argumentativeness, or quarrelsome. Deceit. The Greek word actually means fishhook. It means, deceit means like guile, like subtlety. Like you lie, but you do it subtly. Like a fishhook looks like food to a fish, doesn't it? And then it kills them. Well, that's what it is to be deceitful. Lies that are kind of cover-ups. Evil-mindedness. This is bad character, maliciousness, desire to harm others. Whisperers. Private slander, gossip. Backbiters. Open slander, gossip. Some of you need to listen because you still practice gossip and you say you're right with God and you're unrepentant. Other of you practice gossip and you repent. But if you think it's okay to talk about people behind their back or whisper about them to someone, you think like one with a debased mind. Haters of God, they don't want rules. They don't want commands. No one is the boss of me. Violent. One who, filled with pride, heaps insulting language on another. Hear that? This word means one filled with pride heaps insulting language on another. You give someone a tongue lashing. You dress them down. That's how those that have been turned over to their debased minds think. Proud. Thinking highly of themselves. Boasters. Talking about how good you are, talented you are, smart you are, accomplished you are. Inventors of evil things. Making up new ways to be evil. Most of us weren't satisfied with the evil we did. Some of you now aren't satisfied with the evil you do. You find new ways to do evil. Think of sexual morality. Think of how much worse it just gets. Think about all the ways that people are sexually immoral. It just keeps being invented. New evil being invented all the time. Disobedient to parents. This means exactly what it says, children. Children. Jack, all you children, disobedient to parents shows that you've been turned over to a debased mind. Debased minds are disobedient to parents. Those who've been turned over. Undiscerning, without understanding, senseless, morally stupid. Untrustworthy. Those are covenant breakers. Don't let your yes be yes. Unloving. This Greek word actually means no love for family, no natural affection. Abortion, child abuse, wife abuse, husband abuse. Unforgiving. Debased minds don't forgive. They live years and years, not, I just can't forgive them. I want to. Unmerciful. Debased minds don't show mercy. All of those characteristics that are listed here, Paul is saying those are the characteristics. That's what it looks like. That's the proof that someone's been turned over by God. That God's backed away and turned them over to their sin nature. To suffer the consequences of that sin. All of these signs that one has been given over to God, over by God, to themselves, to their depraved way of thinking. Consider this list. Go back over this list. If you think in these ways, examine yourself. Don't you know that Christ lives in you? Repent and be saved. Or repent and be sanctified. Paul goes on, listen to this. I know you've listened all day, but listen to this and see where this puts us. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Those who practice sex with a prostitute, those who practice homosexuality, those who practice wickedness, covetousness, strife, anger, disobedience to parents, etc., are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Not just the ones who live like that are deserving of death, but also the ones who approve of people that live like that are deserving of death. If you approve of sexual impurity, whether it be adultery or fornication, Sarah, you realize I don't approve of your fornication. I hope you know that. I know you know that. I don't approve of that. It's not okay. It has you separated from God. Any sex outside of marriage, if you approve of it, there's somebody in this congregation who has somebody in their life that approves of masturbation. Guess what? Not only is the masturbator deserving of death, so is the one who approves of one who does such things. Including homosexuality. Because we are in an era right now, in a season right now, where we are having it mandated and legislated that we have to accept and approve of homosexuality. If you do approve it, you're deserving of death. No matter what this country mandates or legislates, we are to approve of no sexual impurity. Because what's coming next is pedophilia's got to be okay. Multiple wives and husbands has got to be okay. Because as we be humanists, if that's what makes me happy, and I was born that way, hey, I'll tell you what, if homosexuals are born homosexual and drunks are born drunks, then pedophiles are born pedophiles. That's repulsive, isn't it? Why? Some of you need to consider you're more repulsed by pedophilia than you are homosexuality. Would God draw a distinction? They're both sexually impure. And if you approve of those, then you're deserving of death. This sermon today could very well soon be called hate speech. And there could be consequences for this sermon in this country we live in. Here's the truth. The truth is, to not speak God's word is hating God. It's hate speech. If I don't preach God's word, if we don't stand on God's word, it's hate speech to God. And it's hateful of the sinner who's headed to hell and separated because they've been turned over. So I don't care if this country calls this hate speech, it's love speech. It's a love of God and it's a love of people. If you approve of those that live this way, you too are deserving of death. No matter what this humanist culture we live in says, I will be a theist. Beloved, you ought to say amen no matter what this humanist culture will tell us, we will remain theists. We will focus on God and His pleasure and His will. Not on man and their pleasure and their will. Romans 1:24-32. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their females exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the male, leaving the natural use of the female, burned in their lust for one another, males with males committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual morality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Look, they know the righteous judgment of God, that those who do those things deserve death. Closing thought. God has given mankind over to their sin because they have rejected Him, suppressing the truth of His existence and sovereignty. He has abandoned mankind and left him to his sin. Abandoned by God, mankind does what is abominable. Sexual morality, the epitome of which is homosexuality. Mankind is filled with unrighteousness because God has given them over to their sin. Jesus is their only hope. Do you have hope, or are you still a slave to your flesh? It's one or the other, not some of both, that should say. It's one or the other, not some of both. See, we can't go through the list of things that God calls sin and pick out the ones that we think are okay and then the ones that aren't okay. We are either a slave to sin or we are a slave to righteousness. We either will approve of God's ways or we approve of man's ways. You cannot approve of some of God's ways and some of man's ways. We can't let in stealing is okay. We can't let in disobedience to parents is okay. We can't let in that homosexuality is okay. But boy, we sure do hate murder and pedophilia. It is the suppression of the truth that has God turn people over to debased minds. Is your mind debased? Are you a humanist or are you a theist? Father God, You are holy. You are the center of all things. You are the creator of all things. You are sovereign over all things. You are power over all things. You are it. Man is Your creation, Father. We are not gods. We are not to be worshipped. It is not about us. It is not about our happiness. It is not about our fulfillment. It is about Your will. Father, for all of those in here today who reject these truths, Father, help them to see they reject You. Father, for those who embrace Your Word, Father, I pray we would be equipped to more boldly, faithfully stand on Your truth. Understanding You, God, understanding the truth of mankind, understanding the wrath that's on all mankind, understanding there is no one who is innocent, understanding that when we be turned over, when mankind was turned over, that sexual morality came and then filled up with unrighteousness of that long list of all of the things. Father, that anyone who lives that way deserves death, and so do those who approve. Father, equip us, grow us. You be edified. We be edified, You be glorified. Father, You be glorified. You be glorified through the preaching of Your Word, Father. As we sing, may You be glorified.